Welcome to this podcast about White Alice and Anvil Mountain in Alaska. The article is produced by Coastview, written by Dr. Carl Schock, and read by Inara, an AI-generated voice. Scroll down to see pictures, maps, and dozens of embedded links to additional information. Please consider subscribing to enjoy more articles and podcasts at coastview.org. White Alice is a historic communication station on Anvil Mountain at an elevation of 1,134 feet on the Seward Peninsula, about 180 miles southwest of Kotzebue and 5 miles northeast of Nome, Alaska. David C. Witherspoon, a topographer with the U.S. Geological Survey, named the mountain in 1899 after the anvil-shaped rock formation on its western summit. The mountain is best known for its Cold War-era box-like antennas, which received and transmitted low-frequency microwave radio communications to isolated and often inhospitable U.S. Air Force-distanced early warning facilities. Anvil Mountain and most of the rocks on the Seward Peninsula are sedimentary in origin and highly metamorphosed. They consist chiefly of schists and marble, a metamorphosed limestone from the Paleozoic. For centuries, the Inupiat camped in the lowlands of Anvil Mountain, hunting for game. Recent archaeological evidence suggests that an Inupiat settlement known as Sitnasuak once existed at the mouth of the Snake River in present-day Nome. In the 18th century, Russian fur traders established a trading post at present-day St. Michael, about 127 miles southeast across Norton Sound. Fur traders and whalers from various countries visited the area throughout the 19th century, and a few church missions were established beginning in the 1880s. In 1887, small amounts of gold were found at Council and subsequently in other locations in the Norton Sound area. Gold-bearing unconsolidated gravel and sand deposits occupy extensive lowlands between Anvil Mountain and Norton Sound, the latter the site of the Nome Gold Rush of 1899 to 1990. Much of the gold lay in beach sand and could be recovered without a mining claim. Numerous calcite veins are exposed in the limestone on Anvil Mountain. Small amounts of free gold occur in some of these veins, and many have been staked as mining claims. Alaska's communications projects have a long history of costly, high-profile ventures, often marred by setbacks. Between 1865 and 1867, the Western Union Telegraph Company attempted to build a telegraph line from San Francisco to Moscow. Known variously as the Russian-American Telegraph, Western Union Telegraph Expedition, or Collins Overland Telegraph, the line was to stretch from California through Oregon, the Washington Territory, British Columbia, and Russian America, crossing the Bering Sea and the Eurasian continent to connect with Europe's network. Difficulties in laying cable across Siberia and Cyrus Westfield's successful transatlantic cable in 1867 led to its abandonment. The failure underscored the technical and logistical challenges of transcontinental communication in the mid-19th century. Alaska's first operational telegraph was the Washington-Alaska Military Cable and Telegraph System. Built during the Gold Rush to connect U.S. Army garrisons, wooden poles supported a single wire linking Fort Egbert at Eagle to Fort Liscomb at Valdez and Fort Gibbon at Tanana to St. Michael. A submarine cable later ran from Skagway to Seattle, while a 107-mile wireless section, then the world's longest, bridged Port Safety near Nome and St. Michael. After World War II, long-distance wireless communications depended on 71 line-of-sight radio stations. Rapid transmission remained elusive until the White Alice system was introduced. Built from 1955 to 1958 and designed by Western Electric, it used parabolic antennas to beam signals into the troposphere, where part of each signal rebounded to a receiver. Civilian contractors maintained the network, which employed 60-foot parabolic scatter and smaller microwave dish antennas to connect remote defense facilities with command centers. A crucial element of Cold War infrastructure, the system occasionally supported civilian telephone calls. Advanced for its time, it became obsolete within 20 years after satellite communications emerged. In 1976, RCA Alascom leased it. By the late 1970s, most of the system had been deactivated. This evolution in communication marked a turning point in Alaska's connectivity, paving the way for modern satellite networks. Mark's Field was built at Nome in 1941 as a bomber base for Bering Sea patrols and hosted Operation Bingo, the first major airlift of military personnel and equipment intended to counter a perceived Japanese threat following the Aleutian invasion. As that threat receded, Mark's Field became an air transport command base. Over 7,800 planes, about 56% of all Lend-Lease aircraft delivered to the Soviet Union during World War II, passed through the base. By the late 1940s, as the Cold War intensified, a new defense doctrine excluded Mark's Field, which was deemed too far forward to defend. In 1951, however, work began on remote radar sites to provide early warning of a Soviet attack and on a communication system known as White Alice. Because these sites were so remote, a staging area was required. Mark's Field filled that role. Downsized and renamed Nome Field, it was operated by the 5001st Composite Wing at Ladd Field in Fairbanks, supporting coastal radar sites and White Alice for 5 years. In late 1956, the Alaskan Air Command deemed Nome Field unnecessary and the base closed. White Alice on Anvil Mountain was built in 1957 and began operating in 1958. Its main facility, a large equipment and power building, has since been removed. Lodging in Nome obviated the need for dormitories. The station provided a critical link between Granite Mountain in the Alaska interior and Northeast Cape Air Force Station on St. Lawrence Island. Two parabolic antennas faced Northeast Cape, 126 miles away, while another pair pointed to Granite Mountain, 136 miles distant. The station was deactivated in 1978. Thank you for listening. Read the article below for more information, including dozens of links to source material and references. Please subscribe to learn more about the West Coast of North America at coastview.org.